This is the Cato Daily Podcast for Monday, November 15th, 2021. I'm Caleb Brown. Supply chain disruptions have many causes. The solutions are similarly manifold. Cato's Colin Grabo details how a failure to automate ports, bad waterborne commerce policies, and other rules within federal control have contributed to the slow and expensive movement of goods.
You ordered a couch a while ago. When did you order this couch?
I ordered this couch in September.
September. Here we are in November talking. And when do you expect your couch to arrive?
April. Hopefully. But I also recently ordered some beds that were supposed to arrive last month, and they still have yet to arrive. So who knows? I think April is the best case scenario.
Okay. So whose fault is that? I mean, if you had to nail down it, either the systems or the viruses or the policies or the public officials in office or recently in office, who's to blame?
I think there's a lot of blame to go around. I think that Americans have they've suffered through the COVID pandemic lockdown, and a lot of them took that opportunity to take money that otherwise would have gone for things like dining out, and they decided to upgrade their home environments. A lot of people also decide to upgrade to larger homes and decide to furnish those homes. And so we have this spike in demand. At the same time, we face bottlenecks both overseas, where a lot of these goods are being produced. We had factories that were shut down or could not operate at full capacity due to COVID. And then also here in the United States, we've had our ports not operate at peak efficiency. And then finally, we're at a point now where they're just completely overwhelmed and with knock-on effects throughout our transportation system, which brings us to where we are today.
All right. So where have the bottlenecks been with respect to policy specifically?
I think that we're in many ways kind of paying the piper for policies that have been in place for a long time. Just start with our ports, for example. I think a lot of Americans are just realizing today that our ports do not operate 24/7 as they do in other countries, as in Asia, as in Europe. And we have a supply chain system that's kind of oriented around that. Consequently, the warehouses near the ports, they don't operate 24/7. And we don't have a system that operates at optimal or peak efficiency. So we have a system, I think, that wasn't optimal, and it's facing this shock in demand, and it's overwhelmed. It's been aggravated by some added bad policy, such as the lack of automation in our ports, and also U.S. tariff policy, for example, that has placed a huge, I believe, in excess of 200% tariff on truck chassis. Well, it turns out you need these chassis to move goods from the port to warehouses and elsewhere where they're needed. So a lot of bad policy has come together to produce, to contribute at least significantly to the current situation we find ourselves in.
And I wonder the degree to which, if you're trying to find an original sin here that drove a lot of these other policy decisions, or at least made them easier, I wonder if the Jones Act didn't in some way subsidize the decision to not automate ports to the degree that other ports around the world are so much more advanced than ours.
Well, what's interesting about the United States is basically when it comes to waterborne commerce, a lot of it is, the vast majority of it is international. It's stuff, it's imports and exports. In terms of domestic waterborne transport, that accounts for very little of U.S. transportation. I think measured by ton miles, U.S. shipping accounts for something like 2% of all freight moved. If you add in barges, we're up to 6%. You know, you compare that to other countries or other areas such as the European Union, you're in excess of 30%. Granted, there are geographical differences and other factors that come into play, but I still think there's a substantial missed opportunity there. So I would think in a post-Jones Act world, we'd see a couple things happen. One is that we would see more goods moved by water throughout the United States. So instead of relying heavily on truck and rail to speed goods to their final destination, there would be greater use of waterborne transportation that would ease some of the pressure on our trucking and rail systems. And I also think that if we did make greater use of waterborne transport, then there would be more pressure, more groups interested in having an efficient port system, and there might be a greater interest in fixing some of these ills that we've discovered lately.
So Congress has shown very little interest aside from a couple of pieces of legislation, which are fairly recent in their and being offered for the first time ever. So Congress has shown little interest in changing this. Is there anything that Joe Biden could do to say, hey, we're now going to unilaterally allow this kind of shipping in the United States, even temporarily, to alleviate these supply chain issues that we're having?
In terms of the Jones Act, presidential authority to waive the Jones Act is pretty circumscribed. It can only be done for reasons of national security. That's a bit ambiguous as to what constitutes national security, but perhaps more importantly, the duration for these for any waiver issued by the president is pretty limited. I believe it's between 10 to 14 days, something like that, and can be extended, I believe, for an additional week or two. So that's certainly no long-term solution to what's facing us now. I'll note that the CEO of Flexport, which is a freight forwarding firm, noted that one possible solution to alleviating the pressure on the ports in Los Angeles and Long Beach would be to have ships load some of the containers, because the port has excess containers. It's hard to get them out. They're too crowded, essentially. Take some of those containers and move them elsewhere along the West Coast. Well, we lack a what's called a short sea shipping network in this country, ships that just operate along the coasts because of the Jones Act. So the our ability to relieve pressure on those ports and move containers elsewhere to other ports on the West Coast that are perhaps not as heavily burdened is severely restricted by this law. So maybe there's potential for, you know, a short waiver to help with something like that. That said, let's keep in mind that Joe Biden, as well as Secretary of Transportation Pete Buttigieg, are on record as supporting the Jones Act. So whether they would actually be willing to move forward with an action like that, I'm fairly skeptical. I also saw a quote from the Congressional Research Service. They had a report like 10 years ago that made a really good point that said that even though, you know, foreign ships, they cannot transport goods from one U.S. port to another, what foreign ships do is they will visit multiple U.S. ports. Typically, they'll go to one U.S. port, drop off the majority of their load, and they'll go to other U.S. ports and pick up goods destined for abroad. And the CRS described this as essentially a conveyor belt. And this is a conveyor belt that Americans cannot take advantage of because of the Jones Act. So that's an opportunity, again, to move goods between U.S. cities that Americans can't use because of this law.
You know, in the 1970s, I believe we altered how we regulate interstate trucking and shipping via rail in the United States. Prior to the repeal under the Carter administration, we had a whole lot of rail traffic that was just a bunch of empty cargo containers moving from one place to another. And the Carter administration, along with Congress, said, let's stop doing that. That seems fairly ridiculous. And yet it seems like the United States effectively does the same thing with respect to ships that stop at our ports that are foreign flagged vessels.
Yeah, I think that the United States, we did a lot of transportation deregulation back in the late 70s, early 80s, again, primarily U.S. rail and trucking industries. Lots of new efficiencies were realized. And yet, I think it's worth pointing out that when it comes to water, we still have a very regulated system with a lack of competition. And I think there's substantial scope for new efficiency gains, lots of opportunity costs there.
Colin Grabow is a policy analyst at the Cato Institute's Herbert A. Stiefel Center for Trade Policy Studies. Subscribe to and rate the Cato Daily Podcast pretty much anywhere. And follow us on Twitter at Cato Podcast.